All right, well, thanks everybody for being here today and coming for this first session today. I know it's so tempting to stay in your room and check your email or something like that. So we appreciate you being here. And I think my talk is a good segue from Margo's because I usually talk about the competitive foods in schools. But today I'm going to be talking about foods in neighborhood stores. So those are all of those environments outside of school that Margo just mentioned were very important for us to address. Okay, everybody saw the disclosure. So today I'll be presenting some baseline findings from the Healthy Eating Active Communities program. And this is a project funded by the California Endowment. It's taking place in 6 low-income communities in California. And it's focused on childhood obesity prevention through environmental and policy change. And within the program in these 6 communities, we're working to create access to healthy foods and physical activities in a number of sectors or children's environments, and they're listed right here on the slide. And today I'll be talking about some of the work that we're doing in the neighborhood sector, looking at neighborhood access to healthy foods in neighborhood stores. And I'll be presenting some data from part of our evaluation in the neighborhood sector. We went to each of the HEAC communities, as we like to call this study, and we visited a local store in each of these communities. And in one community, we did visit 2 stores. And as you can see, we visited a variety of different types of stores, from the local corner store, liquor store, to small grocery stores that were independently owned, bigger than what you'd consider your typical convenience store, but definitely not a full-service supermarket. And then a couple of big box stores, and that was actually a Walmart and a Smart and Final. And we developed a tool to assess these stores to look at the types of foods that were sold, where these products were located within the store, how many varieties of these products were available, and then we looked at the advertising both in and outside of the store. And now I'll present some of our findings. First, I'll talk about beverages. So as you can see here, we found a variety of beverages in all of the types of stores that we visited. And I'd like to note that when we visited the big box stores, we only looked at the cash register area. And there's a reason for that. We were looking at these stores through the eyes of the typical student as maybe they would go to the store before school or on their way home or perhaps on a weekend. And in the small stores, you know, it was pretty obvious that a kid could kind of move through the store pretty quickly, get their snacks, and get out. In the big box stores, although of course kids are exposed to the entire store if they do the food shopping for their family or go with their parents, we looked only at the cash register because we felt that this was probably the area that when kids are going in to buy themselves snack foods, that's where they'd be buying from. So when we visited the stores, we saw a variety of beverages sold in all of the stores. Although not surprisingly, the most common types of beverages found in all of the stores were sodas and diet sodas. When we looked at these stores and looked at how many places in the store there was at least one type of that beverage. So if they sold soda, how many locations throughout a store would we find soda? We saw, again, that not surprisingly, the sweetened drinks and diet soda were found in the most locations throughout the store. And the other types of beverages were found in a variety of locations, but in fewer locations. Then we also wanted to look at the saturation within the store of a certain category of beverage. So we looked at how many varieties of the beverage were present and in how many locations. And we categorized a variety of a beverage as both a flavor as well as a brand. So for instance, if we were looking at sports drinks, there might be 5 flavors of Gatorade, so that would be 5 varieties. And then there might be another 4 flavors of Powerade, so altogether we would have counted that as 9 varieties. And again, not surprisingly, what we found is that soda was present in a lot of varieties in the highest number of locations throughout the store. So what that meant is that as a child moved through the store, they were exposed to lots of soda, lots of variety. And there's evidence that the more varieties of a type of food are available, the higher consumption is of that food. So again, I think that this speaks to not only what kids are exposed to, but it's probably a marketing strategy that companies are using as well to have lots of flavors and then have the stores place them in lots of locations. All right, now I'd like to move on to foods. And again, we looked at the foods that were available in the stores and then categorized them. So again, you can see that all of the stores, whether they were a big store or the cash register area, or excuse me, a small store or the cash register area of a big store, they all sold a great variety of items. The items that we found in every store were, for the most part, high sugar, high fat items, candy, cake and pastry like Hostess or Little Debbie's kind of products, and chips and crackers. And then, interestingly, seeds and nuts were also found in all of the stores. We did as well find some healthy items in a number of stores, and so that did include fresh fruit and cheese. Similar to how we looked at beverages, we looked at how many locations throughout the store we found at least one variety of these items. And again, you can see that your typical high sugar, high fat snacks were found in the most locations throughout the stores, with other foods being found in multiple locations, but not as many locations. And again, then we looked at the varieties, and not surprisingly, candy was the food that was found in the greatest varieties in the most locations. And, you know, that's not surprising when you picture your typical candy rack in a local convenience store. You know, there are lots and lots of varieties of candy. And I can't tell you how much time we spent counting up all of those varieties in these stores. All right, and finally, I'd like to talk about advertising in the stores. We counted up the number of ads that we found both on the outsides of these stores that we assessed as well as on the inside of the store. And what you can see is that we found many more ads on the outside than we did on the inside. But that overall, we found a lot of ads in these stores. The average number of ads was 29 ads per store, combining the inside and the outside. Looking at the advertisements for food items, we looked at what was being advertised. And what you can see here is that the types of products being advertised really match the types of products that were most commonly sold and in the most locations and variety in the store. So the candy, the chips, and the cakes and pastries accounted for about half of all of the ads for food inside and outside the store. The other foods that were advertised inside and outside the store did include fruits and vegetables and the variety of other items that you see listed on the slide. And the interesting thing is that the ads for the healthier items, the fruits and vegetables, or you know, cheese and eggs, these were primarily things that were advertised in the smaller grocery stores or sometimes with the big box stores. And they were more the kinds of ads that say, you know, milk, 1 gallon, $2.50, or, you know, eggs on special. So they weren't the kind of really colorful, eye-catching advertisements that were advertising candy, cakes and pastries and chips. When we looked at the beverage advertising, we looked both inside the store and outside the store. And it was interesting that the advertised products were a little bit different when we compared inside and outside the store. So certainly for both inside and outside, you could see that there was a lot of advertising for sweetened beverages. Although inside the store, there was actually more advertising for sweetened beverages than there was outside of the store. And then finally, we categorized the advertising we found, and this slide combines both food and beverage advertising. We categorized this according to products that were encouraged, products you would want children to purchase and to eat. And these would be products that are low fat, low calorie, low sugar, high nutrient density. So things like fruits and vegetables, low fat dairy, whole grains. And then we categorized other items as discouraged products. And these products would be high fat, high calorie, high sugar, and low nutrient density. So your usual junk or snack foods. And the interesting thing that we found is that for the items inside the store, these were primarily discouraged items. Almost 90% were discouraged. Whereas on the outside of the store, there was about a 50-50 split. And again, this is because on the outsides of the stores, there was more of the sort of grocery item advertising that advertises the price of an item or, a special of the week and that type of thing. So this data really speaks to a lot of different strategies that can be used to address local neighborhood stores to really improve both the offerings at the store as well as the advertising that's found in the store in order to make the children's food environment a healthier place that really supports healthy eating and encourages them to purchase healthy foods. And some of the strategies that the communities in the Healthy Eating Active Communities program are using our small store conversions, where they're working with local corner liquor stores to help them to change the types of items that they're selling, and bringing in things like fresh fruits and vegetables, bringing in healthier snack items, and decreasing some of the less healthy items that they sell. They're also working with big box stores, and this is happening in South Shasta County, working with a Walmart to create kid-friendly checkout aisles. And in those aisles, what they're doing is making sure that there's a case or a cooler that sells foods that adhere to the California school nutrition standards. So those essentially look like the standards that Margot showed for the federal legislation. And then finally, in another one of the sites, they're working with Smart and Final Grocery Store to change the location of some of the items in the store. So rather than having soda sort of in a big display front and center when you walk into the store, they're working with the store management to move that to the back of the store and have healthier beverages like water in that display in the very front to encourage purchases of water as opposed to soda. So I'd just like to, before I close and take some questions, thank the California Endowment for supporting this work. I'd like to thank all of the folks in the HEAC communities, both for doing all of the work that they're doing to change the way their communities look, and also for helping us with the evaluation to have access to the stores and be able to go in and take a look and see what's happening. And then finally, I'd like to thank the whole team at Samuels & Associates for working on all of this exciting research. So I've been told I have time for two questions. All right.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Stephanie Shapiro-Berkson. She's from the Institute of Community Health in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She's going to talk about the reliability of health and weight measures taken by physical education teachers for a school-based BMI surveillance system.